Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord, in this time. Remind us, teach us, allow us to come away with something to be on our minds, Lord, about who we are and who you are. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at Romans chapter 5. If you notice, we're still decked out in red, and we've kind of moved on from last week, the Reformation, but November 1st is this idea of All Saints Day, and so this is All Saints Day Sunday, and so we still wear the red, and we still remember the work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. And so from Romans chapter 5, we're going to be taking a look at three scripture passages. And the weird thing is this morning is we're going to start at one scripture passage and we're actually going to work our way back to verse 1. I don't know. It just works out that way. So Romans chapter 5, verse 9, let's read this together. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Okay, so here is what we take a look. This verse is, you got to unpack it because there's so much stuff in this one tiny verse. And so when we take a look at this, before we talk about justified, we need to talk about that word on that bottom line. You see the bottom line? As they say in business, the bottom line. The wrath of God. See, that's tough to talk about, and that's tough to think about. In Luther's time, the wrath of God was held over people so much so that you had to do something in order to get away from God's wrath. And the problem being is that Luther just dived into the scriptures, and he was reading Romans, and he was looking at it and said, okay, there is the wrath of God. Since the time of Adam and Eve and the sin in the garden, God says, I'm not happy with this, so much so that I demand a sacrifice. The problem being is that Adam and Eve could not offer a sacrifice that could cover their sins, and neither could anyone after them up until the time of the Messiah, and that's what the people were waiting for. They were waiting for a release from their sins. And so we take a look and say, okay, in this society, God should be loving. God should be loving. God should be all loving. God should be all about love. The problem being is that we have taken our society from the time of the 70s, which I was born in. We've taken a theme of love from the 70s, and we try to say, okay, God should fit our view of love from the 70s. So the problem being is that we try to qualify God's love. The problem being is this. The problem being is this, is that sin demands an answer. Sin demands a payment for what has been wronged. And God looks at this, and God has his wrath, and God's wrath is saying something must be done. And even from the time of Adam and Eve, God promises that someone will offer their life in order to pay for the blood that you cannot fulfill. And so we take a look at this and look at that first part that we Lutherans, we love this word because we like to even lengthen it, justified, being justified. We love to talk about justification, something that happens just once. The idea that we are justified, made holy by God, by his blood. And there as Lutherans, we can say 100%. That we are made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing that we can do. And nothing we can do. The problem being is that we want to say, God, I want to do something to help out. I want to know if I'm good enough. The problem being is that God died for us. God went to the cross for you and for me. And he said, this was what my life is worth, to give it as a ransom for yours. Because you cannot pay for your sins. Leave it all on that knowledge and understand that I've already paid for your sins. We take a look at verse 8. Let's read this together. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. This demonstrates God's love for us. We want to talk about true love and not trying to put our own definition on it. This is what love really means. It means when someone doesn't deserve anything from us, unconditional love towards them. And that's difficult because the word that we use here, this word agape, of this love, is something that we struggle with, because only God can agape. Only God can have this greater love that he sacrifices everything he has, who he is, for us. And so we see that we cannot pay for our own sins. But by Romans 5:8, we see that God did it to save us from our sins. And as I promised, Romans 5, chapter 1. Romans 5, chapter 1. Let's read this together. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see the gravity that just came down on that? We talked about the wrath of God. The wrath of God that says, everything needs to be destroyed that's been touched by sin. We are touched by sin. We deserve to be utterly destroyed by what we have done. And yet here in this word, we have what? We have what? Y'all can say it. It's okay. We have
peace.
We have peace. We have peace with God. Here in this idea is God's wrath demands a sacrifice, and we see Christ on the cross with God turning his back on him and literally saying, you're going to be away from God. And therefore, God takes all of our sin on the cross. And when he died, he says, it is finished. It is over. It is done with. And so here we see that we have peace from God, with God, because of what he has done. So that when he says, I love you, I want you to be with me, there's nothing to fear in that wording. Because the wrath of God has been satisfied by Jesus Christ. And by that knowledge, we can go to God in prayer saying, thank you, Lord, for what you have done, that you have given us this faith, and you cultivate this faith, because ultimately you want us where you are now. And so today we take a look at this concept of All Saints Day. We are saints because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed us clean. Not like this that gets dirty, but white by the blood of the Lamb, in which it shines forth in a way in which we cannot comprehend. So we look forward to that day in which we stand before God, blameless because of what Jesus has done, but at the same time, we're here for a reason. God, give me a reason to live. Give me a reason to go on each and every day. God gives us a reason, and that is because he fills us with so much joy and peace, so much love that it overflows of what David has said. My cup overflows. And so we come here and we come to this altar, and God fills us up saying, I want you to know that you are forgiven, and here is my promise to you that someday you will join with all those departed and you will have this amazing banquet. And here everyone is going to sit and eat the best banquet food. So what he is saying is we are all going to be together with all those who have departed and all those who will come after us because we have shared our faith with others. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this day, we remember, number one, the red of your blood, of the forgiveness that you offer because of what you have done for us on the cross. Lord God, we also remember the robe that is white, showing us our future glory in heaven. Lord God, be with us, Lord, as Lord God It's difficult to trust you in everything. It is. It's difficult to relax, so to speak, and let you work in our lives because we don't know what's going to happen next. Be with us, Lord, and point us to the scriptures that show a wealth of faith played out, Lord, that we can trust you in all things and trust you on that final day when we close our eyes for the last time, Lord. And finally, to open their eyes and see all the saints that have gone before us, to worship and rejoice in our heavenly home. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.